Me. Well, so, you know, I came from a migrant family. My parents migrated to Australia and they had to find themselves a job. They had to find themselves work. And, of course, they did find themselves working takeaway shops. And I started working in those takeaway shops. I was the pimply, chubby little Greek girl who was serving customers from day one. And it was only natural that I, of course, then started my own business. So in business, I was in business all of my, most of my young adult life, but retired from business in 2014. And since retiring, well, I thought I had retired, but was approached by the state government to do some advisory for this Business Connect program. And here I am today. I've been a business advisor now for 3.5 years.
Wow.
It's been a little while and it's been fantastic. So I'm really enjoying being an employee, a little puppy dog. I come to work and get paid. And as an employer, I was a wolf, always hunting. I think that's the biggest difference for me.
Yeah. So tell me about your role there at now Realize Business.
Well, I did start as an advisor here 3.5 years ago, in fact, as a casual advisor, because I wasn't ready to jump into the world of employee. But then, of course, it did become a full-time role, and now I manage the program. I've been managing the program, and it's grown. We've gone from 3 advisors to 18 advisors across Sydney.
Wow.
And we cover the whole of Sydney now with advisory. We look after the whole of Sydney with a Business Connect program.
Yeah, right. So describe to me your typical day.
Wow, my typical day starts quite early. It often starts at about 7:30. We have a few stakeholders, we have councils, we have big business and small business, and they've always got events on and we're always invited. So a typical day starts at an event, whether it's a networking or educational or some special event, 7:30 in the morning, as they do pre-breakfast time. And that flows on to advisory. So I'll often see a client for a couple of hours. And then I'll come to the office and I'll have a meeting with a couple of my advisors. So there's some training and coaching of my advisors. That leads on to meetings with the state government and reports. So it could be any report, or it could just be a case study of a client that I have to submit to them.
Wow.
So, yeah, my responsibilities are quite wide, not only to my employer, but to the stakeholders and to the state government, as well as my clients. So
for the audience who are listening there, like I've known Catherine for, I think, over 3 years, I think nearly 4 years now.
And really?
I asked Catherine initially for some help. We met randomly at an event, and lo and behold, here we are still many, many weeks and many months of mentoring later. And I'm extraordinarily thankful for Catherine's guidance and help throughout this journey. She's been with me from, I think, day one of a lot of the things I've worked on. And that's the reason why we're here today, because she is a great business advisor and also a mentor. And I've invited Catherine today to talk about customer service, because she's obviously speaking to a lot of businesses, and it's a topic which I'm also passionate about. So, I mean, Catherine, what does customer service mean to you?
Look, for me, customer service is more than just a smile. It's not even about meeting customer expectations. Customer service is about exceeding customer expectations, so they want to return, or that they have such a special experience.
And in this day and age, it's extremely challenging for a lot of digital and also like physical based businesses to exceed the customer's service, even from an experience point of view, because you're having to do that both online and offline. What are some great examples that you're seeing businesses exceeding on their customer service, like particularly for like online businesses?
What we have actually seen is a big shift. We call it the post-digital age shift. And we've discovered that with online businesses, customer service well, your customers, how they perceive service is the speed. So how quickly can they complete that transaction? How quickly can they find what they're looking for? How quickly can they receive the product that they've requested online or ordered online? And then what does it look like when it comes to them? You know, how is it packaged? But what we're now finding is that a lot of online businesses are feeling that human touch is necessary. Human touch, and of course, there's your chat bots on these websites, and they're becoming more and more sophisticated. But more than that, what we're finding is that online businesses are now turning into physical stores, and that's a growing trend. And that, I think, is the human touch element to customer service. And how it's changing.
Yeah, so that's great that you've touched on, you know, areas where some of the businesses are potentially going to find some challenges moving forward in the future, you know, particularly around the use of technology such as chatbots and being able to bring the physical human touch, the element, everything from just the, not only just the online purchase, but then the entire delivery and the customer service process until it even gets received in your hand, to the aftercare and the support which goes with it as well. So that's a really good point, Catherine. Where do you think businesses in Australia can improve? I mean, where do you think is probably the number one area they can improve on their customer service? Like you've spoken to, I suppose, several small businesses which are starting out. I mean, where's one place they can really start to hone in on the energies which they're commonly overlooking?
I think what's happening in business now is that they're trying to professionalise customer service. They create all these scripts for their front line to be able to provide an answer to the customer on the other side, or they provide scripts for young people on the phone to follow when they're dealing with customers. But what I think a lot of business is lacking, it actually comes from the top, it's a leadership issue. Because what they are lacking is care for their front line. When your front line or the people who are delivering this service, if you are caring about them, if you do show them respect, if you are training them, if you are empathetic towards them, if you are patient with them, if you include them in the decision-making processes of your business, what actually transpires is magical. What actually happens is that your front line actually starts to treat your customer with that same empathy, care, patience, respect that they're receiving from you. And we know that that's customer service, and that's very hard to teach. I can't try to teach someone respect and empathy. But if I show that in business, they will in turn care enough about the customers to do this, to treat the customers as to how they've been treated by their leader. And I really think, I know it's a bit, probably a little bit high level, but I really do think it's a leadership issue. We can train our staff to be friendlier and faster, have these fast response rates. We can tell them that they must reply to customers within 24 hours. But at the end of the day, it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It is about respect, empathy, and patience and professionalism that brings customers back.
Yeah, I can reflect on that. I think we both come from retail backgrounds. You know, Catherine, I think you mentioned you came from a bit of a hospitality background, and I don't think people realise that you ran a very successful books and cafe business as well, which would have been a very strong element of customer service there. And I think I was brought up in that retail environment as well, where the customer is always right. And I think these days, I think as business owners, we, with all the challenges we face with all these different channels of people venting their frustrations very quickly, that, well, we tend to sometimes strike back too fast and forget that, well, maybe perhaps the customers are actually right, but, you know, we need to be very cautious and very also patient to learn to understand, and time is very precious, but we still need to be, you know, listening and have all ears open to what their concerns are, and be aware and acknowledge their concerns as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I hear this all the time. I'm a busy business owner. I just don't have time for the customer service or, you know, customer care. And what's generally your response to that?
Yeah, we often find that the business owners who are not focused on the customer service aspect suffer from customer retention. And of course, they keep, what happens is their marketing budgets blow out. They're constantly marketing. We know how expensive customer acquisition can be. It takes so much effort in gaining that customer. And if that experience is bad and we lose them, all that effort has gone to waste, time and money. So we find in small businesses there's so much focus on the sale, making the sale, that they often forget about the service and the after sales process in ensuring the customer comes back. And of course, what that leads to is decline in business. It's all of a sudden their measurement of, that net promoter score. How likely is your customer going to recommend you? Well, that's low. We know the impact of Google reviews today. So if we're not, if we don't focus on that, we have seen businesses closing down within 12 months. Because they're just focused on sales and BDM with not much else around it. Sure. And that's all a process, isn't it? That's all setting up systems and processes. But also I think you're either very customer service driven innately or sometimes you're not.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, there must be organizations that you come across where they've got atrocious way of handling their customer service, but they're doing very well. And it's like they're either very, I suppose that they know that they're very good and they don't need to focus on that. But I suppose that opens up avenues for competitors to come in. And some businesses just don't want to do it because they want to automate it, or they want to only reach the customers via, say, for example, email or just send an online form through. We don't have a telephone line. Just don't call us, because if you call us, there'll be no one there to answer anyway, right? What do you think about those businesses? And do you think that's the way to do it correctly or not?
No, look, I think people today are looking for opportunity to start businesses, and often the opportunity is looking for those sort of businesses who don't focus on customer service. We actually saw that on a large scale with Qantas and Virgin. Richard Branson saw that opportunity in Qantas. He saw that Qantas lacked customer service. So what he did was he created an airline that focused on customer service. And what happened to Qantas? They experienced years of decline as people flocked to this airline that promised service and young and happy people or happy staff. And then, of course, Qantas had to find a new position for themselves in the marketplace. So, of course, they came up with the image of safety. They had to find that. They had to reposition themselves once that threat of Virgin came through. And I think that at a high level is what happens today. If you're about just selling a product without service, someone will come up behind you and they will offer the same product for sale but with the service. And that's when things fall apart.
That's a great insight, Catherine. That's really, really wonderful to hear your thoughts on that specific topic and customer service, and for all the listeners out there and the readers on this topic that we're having with Catherine Blizzard today, it's an amazing insight from years and years of experience talking to how many businesses now, Catherine? Must be over 1,000.
It's about a thousand. Lots of clients, lots of businesses, having lots of fun.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know anyone else in Sydney who's spoken to over 1,000 businesses. That's amazing. look, Catherine, I really want to thank you for your time and You know, if there's a plug out here for you, like how can people reach out to you and even help you?
Well, they should really take advantage of this program that the state government has released. It was released last January. It's called Business Connect. It offers all businesses 4 hours of free advice. Realise business are delivering it, because as a not-for-profit, that's what we do. We deliver state government and federal government grants. It's a wonderful program, and they can call me 0438 444 710. They can visit our website, realise.business. That's just realise.business, and read more about it, or just visit the business.gov.au website. But take advantage of the advice, because overall, since it started last January, we have helped about 5,000 businesses in Sydney. So, and there are lots of great stories. So I hope to meet some of your listeners. And thank you, David. Thank you for the opportunity.
That's fine. Today. Thank you so much, Catherine. We'll have this transcribed. We'll also have this available on the site as an audio cast for those who want to listen and chime into the this podcast with Catherine Blizzard and myself. It's been a pleasure having this discussion. A very candid, just off. So, you know, it was very, very unplanned, as Catherine probably attests to it. She only got some questions in the last couple of minutes, really.
That's okay. It's all good.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much, Catherine.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.